And the angels turning, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 28, please. And the angel came in unto Mary and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That will suffice for the reading. The subject is so big and wide that we could have spent the whole of the time reading extracts from the prophetic writings. If one had time, one would have looked at the kingdom in relation to God, in relation to Christ, in relation to the church, in relation to Israel, in relation to the nations, in relation to creation, and in relation to the devil. But it's not possible to take such a survey like that. So we shall need to be quite selective and leave a little grass as well for our good brother Leckie. As all of you know, the prophecies are full of this time that has come to be known as the millennium, the 1,000 years in which Christ shall reign on earth. Last night, we dealt with, both of us, with wrath on earth. Now the time has come to deal with the culmination of divine counsel and divine purpose. I want to take your mind forward immediately to heaven. And for lack of better words, the signal has gone forth that the time has come for the Son of God to claim the universe in God's name and in his own. You might well be interested, because you'll be there when the signal is given. For you shall be one of those who shall be marshaled there in heaven to accompany Christ, the warrior king, as he makes his way to earth. 'Twill be a sight all glorious and resplendent. The inspired writer speaks of it as seeing heaven opened, and Christ riding on a white horse, going forth to make war with his enemies. He shall descend from the heavens, the Christ of God, central and distinguished in a blaze of glory surrounding his person. The whole of the universe shall lift their eyes to the heavens, for as the lightning shineth from the east unto the west,
so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. The tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. It's the day of unutterable glory and divine splendor. The Christ of God, radiant in all his excellent majesty, shall descend through the heavens, surrounded with his saints. He's making ultimately for Jerusalem. But particularly at that moment, he's making for the Mount of Olives. You will recall in Acts 1 that Christ ascended with his hands outstretched in priestly blessing. Said the angel, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." Tell me, pray, how did he go? Slowly he ascended. Slowly he'll descend. Where did he leave from? Acts 1, he left from the Mount of Olives. Where shall he come to? Zechariah 14, slowly he shall descend to Olivet's Mount, and when his feet touches it, the mount shall split in twain. Yes, half of it going toward the north, and half of it going toward the south, leaving a valley running east to west, out of which they shall escape. We are told in Zechariah 14 that the Lord has summoned the nations to surround Jerusalem. At that time, half of the city shall be taken. The soldiers are plundering property and the women are being ravished. The twofold outcome of occupation. Only half of the city is taken when suddenly there appears the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. The Shekinah glory that tells all that Christ has come back again. Have you ever intelligently read Psalm 2? Listen to this. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel against Jehovah and against his anointed Christ, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us." They have surrounded Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and we are going to take over. And they're going to endeavor to outlaw God and Christ from their own universe. Look around you today. You would hardly think that this world belongs to God and Christ by the right of creation and by the right of redemption. And as they gather there and make their decree to be finished with deity forever, here's what you read. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision." As God looks down upon these puny politicians, as he looks down upon the generals and the nations of the earth with their armies surrounding, sitting upon his sapphire throne, God smiles at the puny efforts of men. So it says that, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." It has been decreed that Christ would reign. Then the Lord speaks. He says, "The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron." Tremendous, isn't it, brethren and sisters? What would one not give to be able to stand in the House of Commons or at Uno and expound Psalm 2 to the politicians? and give them to recognize that they're fighting for territory that doesn't belong to them. And that ultimately and finally, God will overthrow and overthrow until the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever. So He's making for the Mount of Olives. Ultimately, He shall enter Jerusalem. Then shall Psalm 24 be fulfilled, which is not the ascension. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And yonder, Christ shall take His throne. It's the end of man's day. Man's will, man's judgment is over and gone forever. The Christ of God is going to displace everyone as He sets up His rule and His kingdom. Do you recall 1 Corinthians 15? Then cometh the end, when He shall deliver up the kingdom to God His Father, having put down all rule and all authority and all power. So that when Christ comes, He's going to put down every kind of rule, every kind of authority, and every kind of power. You can understand this, that if Christ is coming to set up His administration, it will be altogether different from the politics of today. God is going to set aside everyone and everything connected with centuries of misrule, mismanagement, and misgovernment. Every form of rule is going to be abolished. Now, this world has many forms of rule. For instance, there is dictatorship, as in some countries. There is rigid state control, as in Russia and elsewhere. There are various forms of democracy, as in the United States and Britain. Might I say, brethren and sisters, that democracy, as we know it, is possibly the furthest away from God's thoughts. The rule of the people, by the people, for the people, was never God's idea. God's idea is theocracy. One man ruling for God. That ultimately will be seen in Christ. So every form of rule is going down. But He's going to put down all authority. Now, authority speaks of those who have the right to rule. And those who have the right to rule in this country is the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. Over in the States, it's the President and his Senate, etc. Over in Russia, it's those who sit in the Kremlin. It matters not whether it be the Kremlin, the White House, Downing Street, Chequers. God is going to set aside everyone who has the right to rule. They're finished. But He's going to set aside not only all rule and all authority, but all power. Now, power speaks of the strength to sustain rule. And in this country, rule is maintained, on the whole, by the armed forces and by the police. And all these forms of rule are going down. And Christ is going to set up His own system of rule, seen in the 12 apostles upon the throne. And you and I ruling over regions. More about that later. Rule thou over many cities. It's going to be something totally different altogether from what man has known. Now let me come back again. When He comes to earth and He comes to Jerusalem, listen carefully. As the son of Abraham, He will claim the land. As the son of David, He will claim the throne. As the son of man, He will claim the earth. Have you got that? As the son of Abraham, He'll claim the land. As the son of David, He will claim the throne. As the son of man, He will claim the earth. And right out to the far-flung corners of the earth, the reign of Christ shall be absolute and perfect. Man's day has gone forever. Nothing has ever been known like what Christ will introduce. Come again. There was a day when God set up the monarchy in the house of David, and it failed. It failed miserably in its first head, David himself. God set up sovereign autocratic rule in Nebuchadnezzar. Thou art that head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar failed miserably in all his pride. But the day is coming when Christ shall take the throne. The Bible says he shall not fail. He shall not fail. Come again. As the true David, he will be seen as the warrior king, putting down every enemy and every foe. As the true Solomon, he shall introduce a reign of peace and prosperity. It's a double type that you find often in the scriptures. He's the true David, and he's the true Solomon. He'll vanquish every foe, and he'll set up a regime that this world has never known nor seen the like of. Come again. He is going to reign as the true Melchizedek. You will remember that in your Bible, Melchizedek was a king priest. So that when Christ comes to reign in that day, he's going to unite the dignity of kingship with the sanctity of priesthood. The Bible's quite clear. Says Zechariah 6, he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. He shall sit and rule upon his throne, that's as a king. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So that he's going to rule for God as a king, in all his royal and imperial supremacy. And he's going to sit as a priest. That has never been known before. A king and a priest. One ruling for God. And yet one who's intelligent as to the ways of God. And if need be, has all the sympathetic consideration for the masses. And he shall bear the glory. Isn't that wonderful? He who bled with scourging sore, thorn and scarlet meekly wore, he who every sorrow bore, he shall bear the glory. Monarch of the smitten cheek, scorn of both the Jew and Greek, priest and king divinely meek, he shall bear the glory. Where the thorn crown wreathed his brow, sits the priestly mitre now, and with many diadems, he shall bear the glory. Oh, if I could just get over to you tonight, what it's going to mean to God and to Christ, to see all their counsels and purposes fulfilled, and Christ reigning from shore to shore, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. Come again. Let me draw your attention now, please, to the last words of David. I'm quoting now from 2 Samuel 23. Listen to this. These are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. And as the tender grass springing up out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Let me draw your attention to some amazing things. David is speaking. It's his last words. Just a little beyond what I read, David said this, although my house be not so with God. Brethren, David's house was a big disappointment. Royal glory though he had, a big disappointment. And just in passing, could I say to you good folks, David's family never went wrong till he went wrong. Now, David says, the just one shall rule over men. That is unique. No righteous and totally just person has ever ruled. Oftentimes the basest of men have been set to rule. But now for the first time, a just and righteous king, a king shall reign in righteousness, said Isaiah the prophet. Listen again. He shall rule in the fear of God. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth. Can you hear the prophet? He shall rise as the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings to heal this poor, torn world with all its running sores. Here he shall come, the sun of righteousness, the glorious King, the divine healer, to heal earth's sores and sorrows. Come again. He shall be as the light of the morning as the sun rises, so it's a new day. Completely new. Standing in vivid contrast to all the rule that has gone past. Brethren and sisters, things are deteriorating badly. Make no mistake about it. There's not a statesman on the horizon. We're in a bad way. We've a woman prime minister, contrary to all that the book would teach. Not that you expect political rule to go according to the book. But you see, things are all upside down. You can understand the bankruptcy of statesmanship today. That the thing's wide open for the devil's politician to come over. A man of incredible intelligence. A man who will have the answer to every question. And they'll receive him no matter who he is. Glad for someone to take over the problems that they can't solve. But now this is different. This person will solve every problem in the universe. Now did you notice what your Bible said? Your Bible said it will be a morning without clouds. Can you get that? A morning without clouds. That means this. When Christ institutes his reign and his kingdom, the cloud of unemployment shall be gone forever. The cloud of war, no more. The cloud of economic crisis, finished. The cloud of industrial unrest, gone. The cloud of terrorism, no more. The cloud of drug traffic, no more. Every cloud that has ever cast its shadow over the kingdoms of men have gone forever. Listen to what he says. He says, it's a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing up by clear shining after rain. It's an introduction of a kingdom whose principles are new. And everything is fresh and green and verdant and fragrant. It'll be a time of unparalleled glory and a time of continual and abiding peace. Something this world has never known. That glorious administration he shall share with others. Not a great deal is said. He promised the 12 that they would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. He has promised the overcomer, sit with me in my throne. He has indicated in his parabolic teaching that as a king when he would return, that one of the rewards would be this, rule thou over so many cities. So I take it in that administration not much light is given. But I take it if we've to rule over so many cities, that there will be some of us in control of certain regions under Christ. Obviously, the kingdom is ordered. The king shall reign. And he shall have his administrators throughout the universe. You see, brethren and sisters, this is but training ground. And if you've never learned to obey, you'll never be fit to command. And some of you who in your professional life have known what it is to take part in administration or middle management, even in any way at all, will understand something of the principles of administration. And quite clearly, in this kingdom, we are going to stand associated with him in that day. If we have suffered with him, we shall reign with him. If we have been faithful for him, we are being trained to administer in that coming kingdom. The heavenly side is the kingdom of the Father. The earthly side is the kingdom of the Son. Come again. Now let me come back to what I said last night, just very briefly. Whenever Christ descends and comes down in all his glory, and half of the city of Jerusalem has been taken, and the people are crying out in the terribleness of their plight, and then suddenly Christ is seen. And as he makes for Jerusalem, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The nation shall be reborn. And as I said to you last night, don't forget Isaiah 53 is Israel's passion song. Isaiah 53 belongs to Israel. There was a day when they said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was no beauty in him that we should desire him, but now he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then he shall forgive their sins, blot out their transgressions, take away their hardened heart, give to them his own spirit, and shall say, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more forever. And then Israel, listen carefully, Israel shall become the head of the nations and not the tail. They shall be above and not beneath. Administratively, put Israel right and you'll put the world right. Give when Christ comes and takes his rightful place, he shall see to it that his ancient people shall be the head of the nations, and through them shall the nations be blessed. Do you know what your Bible says in Zechariah 8? Your Bible says in that day that 10 men shall take hold of the skirt of a Jew, and they'll say, let us go with you, for God is with you. You'd hardly believe that today, could you? Listen again to God speaking. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. The voice of weeping shall be heard no more, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled up his days. For the youth shall die 100 years old. We would think that was old. Oh no, in that day. What a day, glorious day, this will be. Everything in subjugation to Christ. The administration of the fullness of times when God has headed up everything under His Son. Philippians 2 talks about giving Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And as our good brother Andrew Hall, sitting over on the right there, tells us very often in Elam Hall, in that day when Christ shall reign and all shall be subjugated to Him, the heavens, the celestial realm, the earth, the terrestrial realm, and under the earth, the infernal realm, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Yet again, can you think now of the curse lifted upon creation that God and His government pronounced? Probably the only part of the curse that won't be lifted will be in relation to the serpent. The serpent shall eat dust. But watch. It's lifted. The present creation that groans and travails, frustrated in its workings. Suddenly at the manifestation of the sons of God shall be liberated. I've read to you about long life. Let me talk to you about nature. Think of beast happy with each other, beasts happy with each other. Can you think of peace between beast and beast and beast and man? Do you know what your Bible says? Listen to this. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Just a moment. Imagine a lamb playing host to a wolf. Imagine a leopard, so to speak, fellowshipping with a kid. Imagine the lion and the ass eating straw. Imagine the cow and the bear feeding together and the young ones gambling and playing together. And a little child playing in the nest of serpents. And a little child leading wild beasts. Can you think of peace in nature? The red claw and tooth withdrawn? Can you think of the curse lifted so that the sower is overtaking the reaper and the ground is bringing forth so much in plenty that they can't get it in before it's time to sow again? so that the world's need shall be met. No more third countries. No more famine. No more rationing. You talk about full employment. Everything moving harmoniously. If sin rears its head, it will be immediately judged. What a day, glorious day, that will be. It's so difficult with us to recognize just what it's going to mean. Let me finish now, please, and draw your attention to what has been before us. When we have on occasions made reference in 2 Peter to the Transfiguration, Christ transfigured, just a small picture of the coming kingdom, there is Christ, the sun, his face shining as the sun in its strength. Oh, don't be surprised at that. The most expressive part of yourself is your countenance, your face. You think of raiment white and glistering that distinguished the Christ from all others. As you look, there's Moses, who died and was resurrected. There's Elijah, who went to heaven without dying. Moses and Elijah, picture of the saints. Moses reflecting those who died in Christ and rose again. Elijah depicting we who are alive and remain and shall be caught up together. Standing there watching is Peter, James and John, representatives of the Jewish nation. Down at the foot of the hill, the boy being healed, representative of the nations that shall receive untold and unparalleled blessing. Yonder Christ shall be there in his priestly glory. Yonder the church shall be there in all its priestly function. Yonder shall be the nation of Israel called the priests of the Lord, the ministers of our God, and the whole kingdom sustained by priestly and sacerdotal chains. And the whole thing going up, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The cry has been answered, thy kingdom come. And in the world where Christ was rejected and dishonored and set at naught, he's now being admired and adored. His claims fully owned. He never was disowned in heaven, but he was disowned down here. And here, in the world where he was set aside, God shall plant him firmly. Tell me, as you think of these things, are you not deeply grateful in your heart that you're saved? And that you are linked with Christ indissolubly and eternally forever? And that glorious administration we'll all take part intelligently and usefully. It will never be overmanned at any point. There will be no hangers-on, no jobs for the boys. An administration that is perfect and complete, that is righteous and just. And I stop just for a moment to think of during those 1,000 years what it will mean when Christ shall visit throughout his kingdom. I tell you, the Queen with her personal dignity shall have nothing to him as he visits his kingdom and sees the administration that he has set up working for his own honor and for his own glory. Oh, brethren and sisters, let us bow before the excelling majesty and imperial glory of the Son of God. Let us now hear and now acknowledge Him. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If the universe will one day be subject to Him, let us bow the knee now. Let us gladly crown Him Lord of all and yield our lives in constant submission to His glory and to His work. So may the Lord bless His work. Thank you.